Fellow auto detailers, welcome to the show that features interviews with today's most successful auto detailers. This is the Auto Detailing Podcast. Here's your host, Jimbo Balaam.
Today's sponsor of the show is Bluehost. Bluehost offers domains and hosting. If you're looking at buying a domain name or hosting your current domain name, head on over to autodetailingpodcast.com/website. I've worked out a deal with Bluehost for special discounts and offers for Auto Detailing Podcast listeners, and it also helps me out too. Gives me a little bit of kickback for each one of you that sign up through that website, autodetailingpodcast.com/website, where you can get a free domain name with a hosting plan. So head on over to autodetailingpodcast.com/website and pick up that free domain with any hosting package. If you're looking to take your business to the next level, or maybe you're just starting your detailing business and your website doesn't quite rank high enough in a Google search for keywords like auto detailing and the such like, you're going to want to head over to autodetailingpodcast.com/Google. Because I'm going to show you exactly how to get your site to rank higher in Google searching, how to put, honestly, hundreds, if not thousands of dollars in your pocket every single month in addition to what you're already making. And it doesn't have to cost a lot of money to do paid advertising. For as little as $40, one student made over $1,000. How about, do you have three extra dollars per day that you could be using for advertising expense? With $3 a day, I had another student net over $1,300 one month. That means he spent maybe $90 in ad spend for the whole month and made $1,300. I think that's an investment that we would all make. So head on over to autodetailingpodcast.com/Google. Get that training done today and seriously take your business to the next level. That's autodetailingpodcast.com/Google. We'll see you on the inside.
All right, welcome to round two, or round one to you, of this episode of the Auto Detailing Podcast. I invited a very special guest into my mobile recording studio, because not only am I a mobile detailer, but I also do mobile recordings. So my wife is here. Say hello.
Hello. Heather Balaam.
That wasn't a very good intro on my end.
Jimbo's...
Is that my phone or your phone?
No, it's mine. For the first time ever, I'm actually going off with Facebook Messenger and not you. Wow.
So this is the second time we recorded this episode. Because the first time, me being the professional master, the pod master.
Oh, God.
The podcast master professional.
Wait, did I wear sunglasses in?
No, you did not. Did not record the first time we recorded the majority of this episode.
Awesome.
On our errand run today. So, if you hear background noise, it's because we're in the car doing this. We did a Starbucks run that I recorded for you guys that you missed out on. We also did...
Don't tell them all the things they missed out on. That's just depressing. What episode number is this going to be? Can I print in to be you?
This will probably be episode 227. Sure.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Auto Detailing Podcast.
Nope.
Here is Heather Balaam, your co-host.
That's not how I do it. I'd say... Welcome to episode 227 of the Auto Detailing Podcast. I'm Jimbo, your host, and today on the show, we have a very special guest, Heather Balaam. You want to try it?
Well, thanks for shooting me down. That really boosted my self-confidence.
Find your voice, though. Do it yourself.
I'm going to do it. You're going to tell me, no, that's wrong. And then you're going to tell me, do it yourself.
Well, that's the order that I do it in. So go ahead. You try.
Well, now I forget the order.
Just try it.
200 and what, babe?
Maybe 227, I think.
Hey guys, welcome to the 227th-ish podcast episode of the Auto Detailing Podcast. Today, your host, Heather Balaam, the wife extraordinaire to the very untalented Jimbo Balaam. Welcome. We're so glad you're listening.
We're so glad we have your ears for the moment. Anyway, before I get some hate mail on like, man, that intro was way too long. Can you guys just get to the meat of the podcast? Today we are going to be talking about, or we're going to be answering your listener submitted questions about all things detailing. So do you have the status put the status update that you set that we posted together.
I'm trying to find.
Because
I don't really know how to work Facebook.
Come on, okay. Come on. Tell the reason you wanted to come back on the show, but I couldn't find a good enough reason to get you back on the show.
No, this is the reason. Okay, so this was all my idea because, as you guys know, I am the complete brains of the operation, yeah. And I told Jimbo.
She totally thought of the auto detailing podcast.
I said,
totally not.
Hey, you should do something a little bit different. Your listeners always love it. We should do a Q&A. So Jimbo did a status on his Facebook saying, hey guys, anything goes, family, business, personal life, ask your questions. We'll give you a shout out on the show. And so we're just going to go through, we got 30 comments here. We're just going to go through the questions. And Jimbo and I will answer, he'll answer, I'll answer, we'll answer together, whatever.
And this happens. Is off the cuff. This isn't, obviously I looked at some of your questions, but for the most part, this is off the cuff. We don't have any, we're literally driving. So If there's a lot of ums and ahs, deal with it. Because this is off the cuff, raw.
Q&A.
So let's get started.
And Jimbo hates editing, so he won't edit it.
Yeah.
Okay, so our first question comes from... You know what? To spice it up, I'm going to go start from the bottom.
Oh, wow. Don't ask the last question, though. Just kidding. Go ahead. Ask the last question.
This question comes from Alexander Greb.
Alexander.
Alexander asks, when should I use a harder foam pad with a polish and when a softer pad?
The problem with this question is that there's so many...
Is that like a question that deserves its own podcast?
Maybe. And it can get very technical because there's so many different variables when it comes into this. Because traditionally you would use a... Be careful with putting that because the recorder's right here. So it might be really loud when you pick up your drink and the ice and stuff. So traditionally...
What if I get really thirsty?
Just put the cup somewhere else. Traditionally you would use a hard pad with a abrasive compound, right? So like... The more hard you're wanting to cut through the paint, the harder the pad you would use. And the more you want to finish out, the finer of polish you would use with a pad that is softer. But then, if you've listened to any of the past episodes with Matt Gibb, he does talk about polishing with a fine polish and a stiff pad. And then Rupes came out with their UHS system for ultra hard surfaces, and it's a really, really super rock hard pad with a really fine polish. So depending on the condition of the car that you're working on, or how hard or soft the paint is or is not, and all those other conditions that go into it, but you heard the traditional use of a hard pad with a aggressive compound and a soft pad with a soft polish. But there are circumstances, like, for example, the Rupes UHS system with the hard pad and the light polish was designed for ultra hard surfaces. So ultra hard paints, the UHS system works very well. So there are situations where you may want to use a hard pad with a soft or a fine polish. But it's kind of a case-by-case situation. And don't be afraid to try different things. Mix it up. Don't always... You know me, I'm a fan of off-label uses. So don't be afraid to try.
Awesome. Next question, Curtis Wentworth. How do you handle admin stuff? Networking, flying out of state for correction coding jobs. Wow. Holla at you, Curtis. You just big time, aren't you? Client relationship building, phone calls... Text, Facebook messages, IG DMs, email, Instagram direct messages, emails, nurturing potential new opportunities, follow up with clients for maintenance details, and still prove, he's yelling at us now because he's in all capitals, okay. And still prove through actions to your wife that you are the best father, husband you can be, and that you care to grow your relationship the same as you do your business.
What's his name, Curtis?
If your name isn't Kevin Davis.
Because Kevin Davis can do it all and have really great hair. Anyway, Curtis.
Is Kevin Davis bald?
No.
I thought that was like the joke.
Curtis, that is a loaded potato question. And the
loaded potato, twice baked, extra cheese.
But a very good one, because I like how you ended it with how do you, what you're dealing with is work-life balance. And I'm going to assume something for a second, which you should never really assume. But I'm assuming that you own your own business. So the fact of the matter is, when you own your own business, is that you really work 24/7, 365. Because, like you mentioned, flying out for correction and coding jobs, which, to be honest, I've never done. And just to touch on that note, if I travel, I try to travel with the family. And that helps. Not always possible. I did go to SEMA that one time by myself.
And that was by my choice. I don't like... I was actually very pregnant, and I don't like Las Vegas.
But if I'm going to travel anywhere, I started another business one time, and I would travel just a little bit, like a couple hours away, and the family always came with me. So
we actually would always turn it into a family...
It was always a family, like, vacation or a weekend trip.
Yeah.
It was a family outing. So if I travel, family comes with me, and that's kind of like my... here's where I'm going to use terms where I sound more important than I am.
Okay.
Like that would be on my rider of like, hey, family comes too. So, if anyone flies me out anywhere, they are paying for the whole family. What was another one? Like admin stuff, client relations. It sounds like you're trying to maybe do too much. So like what I would suggest.
Yeah, but you do all of that stuff.
I do, but okay, so I have a couple thoughts on this. This is actually a really good question that I could probably do a whole podcast on because I'm really passionate about this side of the business. So what?
I'm glad we started the questions for
Yeah.
Them.
So one thing that I love is automation. So automate or make it as easy as possible for you. So for example, let's see, like just the first example I could think of off the top of my head is like accepting credit cards. So to make it easy, I use Square, right? Because it works with my phone, which I always have my phone on me, so I always have that. But also with Square, they have a little bit, it's not quite there yet, but they have a little bit of a customer retention management program going on. So, but you can automatically email a receipt to them. You can also trigger something in the Square dashboard to, if a client hasn't used you in a while, it'll send them like a $10 off coupon. But other customer relationship management softwares can also do that for you. As far as like DMs and all that kind of stuff, text messages, I mean, you see it. It's like I'm always on my phone.
And I think it really bothers me, and it's super annoying, and it would really, really get to me, and it kind of was, like, a realization in, like, my head that we don't, like, have rules where, like, Jimbo, it's 5 o'clock, you have to leave your phone at, like, turned off, like, no, like, Facebook Messenger is constantly going off, phone calls are constantly coming in, clients are constantly calling him. Clients will call him and text him at 1 a.m. Like, it's so weird.
Because, guys, you have to think, too, the podcast is more of a hobby.
And like, this is where it bothers me, is where it's, like, a lot of people contact Jimbo through Facebook Messenger at looking for
advice.
Tips and stuff like that. And that's when it really bothers me, when that comes into our family time. When Jimbo's having to sit there and do, like, you know, take 15 minutes to do this message because this person has a question, which is so amazingly awesome of Jimbo to give out free information.
And I struggle because I love it.
Yeah. But that's the only thing that bugged me. And it used to bug me all the time, like, even business calls. But it has to kind of be a realization. It was a realization in my head that I need to stop and realize my husband owns his own business, runs his own business, does it successfully, and provides for my family. I don't have to work. I choose to work. But I didn't have. I don't have to because.
Do you work?
Well, kind of. I'm starting to. Punk.
Oh.
Yeah, I work. I'm working on Sunday. Forget I'm going to Malibu.
I'm just kidding. Going to Malibu.
I know that sounds so Barbie. It kind of was a realization in my head where I'm like, Heather, stop. Like, I had to be like, get over yourself. Like, Jimbo provides for our entire family and works his butt off. And who cares if he's got to stop in the middle of playing with the kids for 5 minutes to call a client back. He comes right back and he, like, plays with the kid. Like, it was kind of like a realization of me of, like, okay. And there's other moments in the day where, oh, it's raining. Jimbo will spend the whole entire day with us, you know, or whatever. So for us, it always just kind of seems to work out. It used to really bother me. All the phone calls, now it doesn't really. The only messages that bug me is, like, the extracurricular.
Which I brought on myself, and I enjoy it. But, and I'm the type where I like working, and I like helping guys out. And, you know, it's, like, weird because the...
I think over here is jiggling.
Detailing... There's a key in... Or there's screws in the box. So, but detailing is so physical. And then, like, I start doing these online activities that are more mental. And it's like, so for me, it's actually
like refreshing.
It's refreshing to like answer a Facebook message because it's like so not a big deal to me. So, but it does get in the way of family time. But one of my hard, fast rules is I never, ever, 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 ever detail cars on Sundays. For the first time in forever, I actually did a car.
I think the first time ever.
Ever, this past Sunday, but I didn't even really do it.
I hired
someone to do it. And then I just had to touch up a few things that they missed. So I don't ever work Sundays. I try not to work Saturdays.
Sunday you didn't even work. Like, you went really there work. Before the entire family woke up, met the lady. She dropped off the car.
Yeah.
Your employee came, did it. And then we all went over for you just to overlook the car. I mean, yeah. We went with him. It wasn't like he
And this is an advantage of being a mobile detailer is that I don't spend time wasted sitting at a shop. If I have no cars going on, nothing going on, no computer work to do, I go home. So there's some days I'm home at noon. There's some days I'm home at 2. There's some days I'm home at 5. It all, like Heather said, ends up working out. But my thing is become more, just like in detailing when we talk about becoming more efficient with your processes, just become more efficient with your
everything.
Admin, with your everything. So again, listening to the podcast is efficient because you're learning while you're working. Get apps on your phone and do QuickBooks and Square and integrate the two and get a CRM and get stuff that's easy for you to do just in the middle of your everyday day-to-day work. And then, I mean, if you're getting that many Facebooks and DMs and all that, maybe look at hiring someone.
Yeah, for sure. Hire your wife to do it for you.
Hire your wife to do it.
There you go. Okay, next, Grant. Hot Tree?
Hot Tree. Had him on the show. What's up, Grant? Hot
Tree. Oh, Grant. Drop balonies on drop me tree. Grant asks, how to stuff a Thanksgiving turkey?
No idea.
So, Grant, I actually like Bobby Flay's recipe of stuffing a turkey. Comes out great. Always do extra butter because, you know what?
Extra salt.
It's the butter.
You can never go wrong with salt or garlic salt.
You like, and continuing... You continual dress that turkey. You put the juices and add butter and juices and butter and makes it delish.
And then garlic salt.
Okay. No.
Garlic salt and ketchup make everything better.
No. No.
All right. That's right.
Grant part two.
Grant.
What's your personal procedures when doing a full car start to finish, i.e. wash, clay, paint, interior, etc.?
Well, Grant, great question. I like to start with the interiors normally, but about every 6 months to a year, I do the exteriors first, just simply to switch it up as a mental practice for me, just because I get stuck in the rut of doing the same thing over and over again. So sometimes I like to start on the outsides. And being mobile, it's kind of weather dependent too. So if I'm going to be doing like, just say a wash, clay, and seal... and it's cloudy out, and I'm doing it earlier.
You tell these people where we live?
Oh, Southern California, they know. Okay. So if it's, I wasn't even giving it away where I live.
You said the city.
I didn't.
Yes, you did. Okay. So I'm doing a wash, clay, wax, and seal.
No, and seal, like a ceiling.
Oh, shoot.
wash, clay, wax, or wash, clay, seal, whatever.
Edit that part out, for sure.
For sure gonna edit that out.
For sure. No, you're not, are you?
No. I'll do, and it's cloudy out or cold out, and I know I can do it quicker and do that before the interior, then I'll do that first, then go into the interior, and then maybe do a quick wipe down. A lot of guys will end with the exterior only because it gives the interior time to dry, and the exterior is what your customers are seeing first. So you want the exterior as fresh as possible. So a lot of guys will do the exterior first, but that's how I would do it.
Okay, next, Scott Myers.
Scott.
Scotty.
Scott. I think
Scotty
I met him with
doesn't
Scott.
Know. Remember that song?
No.
That Fiona and me. Gets a little...
No idea.
Okay. Oh, okay. Scott asks, do you use and or recommend any particular software, i.e. the better software?
So, Scott, since you asked, this is a little secret.
Oh. Okay, sorry. Scott had a first question before this.
Okay.
Do you use an account and or tax professional, or do you do it yourself? And then do you use and or recommend any particular software, i.e. the better software?
Okay. So, I do have a tax lady who finalizes all my taxes and stuff.
She's the best.
She is good. And I would recommend you have a tax person, too, to save you on taxes and accounting and stuff like that. And this kind of goes into Curtis's question too. I use QuickBooks online. Shoot, we're going. Should I get off on the beach? To go to Goodwill.
Okay. Sure.
So I use.
It's kind of far up. No, I just get off at the Magnolia Warner.
Okay. So I use QuickBooks online, which I input all my expenses. I have it linked to my business debit card, which if I, as long as I use my debit card for expenses and purchases, it's automatically being imported into my QuickBooks. Anytime I have a receipt, QuickBooks allows me to take a picture and store that receipt. So I'm not, I hate paper. So I'm not holding any, I'm not keeping any paper. So I have it all filed on the cloud. It's searchable, all that. So, and it'll create automatic reports for me. So as long as you're importing your sales and deducting your expenses at the end of the year, you can formulate a report that'll print out, maybe a 1 or 2 page report. And then you can hand that to your tax professional, and that's going to cut down a significant amount of time for them to finalize and file your taxes. So that's what I would do. A CRM that I'm checking out is the better software company. So far, their
annoying.
Their UI and their user interface is pretty good. They are kind of annoying. And everyone there is really nice when you talk to them on the phone. They're in Canada, and there's a 3-hour time difference with me and them. So to get them on the phone for like a training and stuff is very frustrating, because they always want
to. They always want to do these trainings that are like an hour long, and I'm like, yo. Yeah.
They always want to do an hour long training on their software, and they always want to do it in Eastern Standard Time before, and they want to be done by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So it's always like, you know, they need it done before 2 p.m. my time. So that's kind of frustrating. But again, it has a lot of cool features that I like. They always have a deal running, and right now their deal is $30 a month. So if you're listening to this...
Do you have a promo code for that?
I don't have a promo code, and I've never mentioned them on the show because...
You're still in the process of
I'm still in the process of checking it out, so I'm kind of hesitant to recommend it, but I like it.
Okay. Next, Scott Schlue. Do you still believe Darren Priest is your brother from another mother?
It's weird how well me and Darren get along and how we're almost like twins.
I didn't know that was Darren's last name.
Priest, yeah. It's almost weird how like...
You guys kind of look alike.
We kind of have... He could be my dad. He's old enough to be my dad. But we have the same thought pattern. So, like, he's like, oh, my gosh, that's so weird that you said that. I was thinking the same thing.
They're definitely thinking of bromance right now.
Yeah. We can't jump on the phone for, like, 5 minutes.
No. We've been to dinner with Darren and his wife, and they're very nice
They're
people.
So nice. Him and his wife are great. In fact, she said they want to come out for dinner again.
Our kids were literally into it.
They loved it.
No, our kids were on another level that night, I remember. They were crazy.
They loved it, though. Darren and his wife loved it. No, they did. And they said, no, they weren't lying. He's not like that. And he was like, you know what? He did say, I'm just glad they're not my kids. He said, I'm glad I'm past that stage.
Right?
I said, me too, Darren. But no, Darren is awesome, and he shoots it straight, and... a brother from another mother? No, he's more like my dad.
No.
He's pretty old, babe.
Now you're teasing because you know he's listening.
I don't know if he listens.
Yes.
Whatever.
Do you, here's the test.
What?
We're not sure if he listens, but do you watch his YouTube
videos? Oh my gosh, sometimes. So, I've started two more, but I was on the phone with him the other day.
Did he call you out?
He did call me out. Thanks, Darren. No, in a good way. But then he also, I was on the phone with him and I'm like skimming through his latest video and he was
What's
doing
his
this
YouTube?
Auto Fetish Detail. Everyone knows.
Auto Fetish.
Auto Fetish Detail
so
on YouTube.
Auto Fetish.
And he did that on purpose. Anyway, so I'm like skipping through his latest video. He was doing this RV and Darren's like in the middle of this really great story that I was obviously really listening to. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh my gosh. And he's like, what? I'm like, what are you doing? And of course, he has no idea that I'm watching his video because the sound's off, right? I'm like, you did not just get on the RV like that. Are you serious?
You were watching the video while you're talking
to him.
Yeah,
while I'm talking to him on the phone. And I'm like, oh my gosh, dude. And he's like, I'm so sorry for interrupting you, Darren, but I did not expect you to get on top of the RV like that.
How do you do
it? And then dismount off the RV. Like,
is
I was like,
a ninja or what?
I was so blown away. Like, that is, and he's like, are you saying that? Like, and you know, Darren, he's like, needs to clarify everything. So he's like, are you saying that? Like, it's bad, good, you would do it? I'm like, it was so dangerous, and I would do the same exact thing. But, yes, I watch his videos. Sometimes, not all of them.
Okay.
I'm really a video guy. Anyway, whatever.
You love podcasts.
I love podcasts.
Anthony... Campanile.
Antony.
Have you hired any employees and your reasoning behind your decision? I remember a while back on your podcast where you were talking about possibly not hiring and how Darren Priest went from employees to no employees. I think it's a tough decision for a lot of us that are still solo but would like to grow or have help.
Do you hear
Jimbo sighs? It's like a constant pull and struggle. We currently have like an employee now.
One and a half
employees, but like it was almost zero employees last week and now it's back to one and a half. Like it's...
Guys are, first of all, being in California, the employment laws and additional costs involved in hiring an employee are insane. I don't technically have employees. I have subcontractors that are detailers running their own business that I sometimes, on occasion, don't tell them what to do, but will subcontract them out to help me with services when I need help. I have an internal struggle of scaling my business and not being so hands-on. But then as soon as you hire your first employee, you understand why you had no employees. So every time I hire an employee, I wish I didn't hire an employee, but at the same time, wish I had an employee.
Like days on Sundays, where it's like, okay, well, he could be making, Jimbo made money on Sunday.
Right, for literally not doing anything.
Not doing anything, but we still had to go back over the car before the lady picked it up because that's just the way Jimbo goes. And he needed to go back over the car.
Yeah, so.
There was things that needed to be fixed.
And one thing that I found is, at least now, and it totally could be me and how I set it up, but when I tell a new customer that I'm physically not coming out, and this is the downside of being mobile versus having a fixed location, is that when I...
Where is the fire
when I tell someone, hey, I'm sending out employee John Doe, they automatically go, oh, is his quality going to be as good? So in my experience, people don't like me sending out a guy. Whereas if you had a shop, no one would know you got guys in the back, which was kind of that Sunday moment, is I had someone drop a car off with me. They had no idea I had someone else doing it. I was there when they dropped it off. I was there when they picked it up. They thought I did the work the whole time. Well, I didn't. But again, I did have to go over it and send it. I had an issue when I sent my guy out to do another job for me. The quality wasn't up to the customer standard. Obviously, it wasn't up to my standard. And then I was left with this additional headache of kind of putting out this fire from this client.
But he does make more money because he's able to take on more work.
Right. So there's a give and take. There's a balance.
Yours.
Quite haven't figured it out as of now.
If you were to start again, what would you do differently? And why and how would you... And how would you... How would these changes benefit you today? Darren Windsor. Sorry, there was a typo, so I kind of biffed it. Let me say it again. If you were to start again, what would you do differently? And why would you choose to do these things differently? And how would it benefit you today?
Hands down, probably the number one thing that I always regret that I didn't do well enough was keep track of client information. So, your best bet to make continuous money is to keep track of your clients, their names, as much info on them as you can get, their names, their birthdays, their addresses, their email addresses, as much info as you could get on a customer, the better. And one thing that I did horribly and still am not great at is keeping track of customer information, because if you have customer information, you can always reach into that database and send out flyers, promotions, emails, new services that you're offering. And so that, hands down, is probably
Christmas cards,
New Year's, birthday cards. All that stuff is something that I suck at. And it's something that, before you do anything else, I mean, anything else, I wish I could go back and keep track of my client information better.
Cool. Next question is from the man, the legend, Chris West.
Chris West.
And he said,
Chris. Chris is awesome.
I do know Chris. We had lunch with him.
We did.
For like a little bit. Wasn't he there?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He stopped by.
Yeah, yeah,
he
didn't
stay for the entire lunch.
Yeah,
but.
Yep. You're right.
And his product is?
Solution Finish.
Solution Finish. Honestly, I asked for Jimbo to put Solution Finish on my car.
Every time, even when she doesn't need it.
Even when I don't need it, I'm obsessed. I am literally obsessed. Okay, so, Chris West, and this is for the misses. Now, how exactly...
I thought I heard a little pep in your step.
Now, ooh,
girl.
Now, how exactly did you end up with Jimbo? And I commented, and I said, the very short straw. But,
she was online dating, and she needed her visa to come to the U.S., and,
it's true.
Poppy was here.
Poppy was here. You're so white and Poppy. No, Jimbo and I actually met when I was in high school.
On a blind date.
We were set up on a blind date.
And come on, how could you resist this?
Obviously I couldn't. I just couldn't. Okay, I'm going to do a podcast episode next, you guys, on...
Weird people in a parking lot walking?
No. Careful, because I think there might be someone behind
you. I see her. It's
like 300 pounds.
Hey.
Crisscrosser. I'm going to do a podcast episode next on, because everyone loves Jimbo, except for, obviously, there's people that don't.
What?
But
name one person that doesn't like me.
Oh, you don't want me to. Jimbo gets all these Facebook messages. Oh, Jimbo, you're so great. And right. Thanks so much for the podcast.
You're so blah, good looking. Blah, blah.
And his head is just getting so big.
Gosh.
And I'm going to give you guys Jimbo's not going to be there. I'm going to give you guys a real down to earth on what it's really like to be close to Jimbo Balaam.
Okay? You should do that, but you don't know how to upload all the podcasts and stuff, but you should do a recording. A top secret one, and give it to me, and I'll make a promise that I don't listen to it until I release it.
Yeah, we should
do
that.
And we'll do, like, a bonus episode.
Yeah, because
maybe we'll do a bonus episode the same week this one goes live.
There we go. Too much of me, though? Okay. And then he said, Chris West went on to ask, and Jimbo Balaam, do black cars matter?
All cars matter, Chris.
Okay. Eric Studman.
Stud Eric.
What are a few tricks you first used when you started out to approach a potential client or even a business park setting? I am struggling with trying to figure out what exactly to say and or do.
I think the worst thing ever in the whole entire...
Eric, did you just recently get married? Congratulations.
The worst thing ever...
Or your profile picture is a wedding one.
The worst thing ever is... office parks and walking in cold. So the very first office building that I got was and this is how I kind of approach everything, and it's how I honestly feel the world is going and turning, is that you have to know someone on the inside. Walking in blindly and cold is fine, but at the same time it's also like really discouraging, a lot of no's. So try to find someone that you know works in that office building and work that connection. Maybe it's a free car wash for them or a free service for them if they get other cars lined up for you. So everyone knows someone. You know, there's only 3 degrees of separation between you and anyone you want to meet. And I have a quick story. I was in a networking group, which if you're just starting out, I would highly suggest joining a networking group, something like a BNI. If you're more seasoned, a BNI just gets really corny. But for starting out, it gets you into those office buildings. But I was in a BNI group one time, and one of the trainers came in and he said, I want you guys to do your craziest ask for the person that you think you can never, ever get a hold of. And so I stood up and I said, okay, I want to be Kobe Bryant's detailer. I want a referral to Kobe Bryant. That was like my shot in the dark. Obviously, I live by him. We're not next door neighbors, but come on.
Pretty close.
If this podcast goes good,
he's
maybe.
He's in Newport.
Anyway.
Bristol, no.
He's Newport Coast.
Yeah.
So anyway, point is that I got to the person who was in Vanessa Bryant's inner circle. So Vanessa Bryant being Kobe Bryant's wife, I got to her inner circle. So from just a random networking group, you know, nowhere. And I found out they had someone that did it, and Vanessa kind of ran the roost. And they already had someone doing it, obviously. But point being is that I got pretty dang close to Kobe Bryant just working the connections that I knew.
All right.
All that to say. I'm getting tired.
I know, right? Okay. Rolando Vasquez.
Rolando.
What came first? The detailer or the hack?
I'm a hack for life for... what's his name? Rolando? Mm-hmm. Hack for life, bro. We're all hacks.
Awkward silence. Bud Abram. Where else but in the... Okay.
Bud Abraham. Abraham?
Paul Frasco. Do bears doo-doo in the woods? And then Bud Abram says, where else but in the woods?
Sure.
Unless they're in a zoo. Mm-hmm. Bud Abram, what can those details...
Abraham.
I didn't even finish his last name. Bud Abraham.
I had
him on the show. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What else? What can those detail businesses owners... who abide by all the laws and regulations pertaining to their business do about those who ignore the laws and regulations and undercut the prices, the law-abiding detail business owner. It hurts those businesses, owners, and hurts the industry. Amen! Amen, bud.
At the same time, I think detailers focus too much on the other hacks in their own area, and they don't focus enough on what is differentiating them from those people. So what I found in my area is that a lot of those cheap, you know, unlicensed, uninsured guys are very, very inconsistent with their work, both in the quality of their work and in the, what do you call it, like when they actually show up?
Like their schedule?
Like their schedule. So, like, I used to do a lot of regular maintenance washes, and office buildings would be like, okay, we had a guy, he was here every Tuesday, and he came for a month and then never showed up. He was doing $20 car washes. Can you match that? And I would say no, because I actually want to show up every Tuesday and not be the flake that your last guy was. And in fact, my best customer as of right now, that almost equates for $1,000 a month, had a previous detailer that couldn't show up on time. So I got that account strictly because I showed up. Now, am I going to complain about the hack that the old detailer was, or how cheap he was, or how he was breaking all the rules? I don't really care, because at the end of the day, I got that client because I show up every week.
But when you are growing your business,
it is frustrating.
It was horribly frustrating. But now that Jimbo is well established, and that Jimbo, obviously, his detailing skills are pretty bar none, you know.
That's the first time you said I'm a good detailer.
Well, I mean,
she likes to tell me that my attention to details are not that good. Moving along.
We all have room to grow, right?
Amen.
Amen. So,
room to grow on this podcast.
So, I think once Jimbo got to the level and he is at
once
now.
Once I got to the master detail level.
Now he can say, well, great. That's why I'm charging more, because I'm better. But when he was first starting out, it was definitely way more frustrating.
And it's a confidence thing. So it's, you start not to be, I'm not concerned about the hacks in my area. Well, the cheap guys, I'm a hack. So I'm not concerned about the cheap guys running around in the back of a piece of crap van anymore, because I just know what makes me different from them.
A little over 2 years ago, you had that piece of crap van.
I did.
Juliet Green. Do you and your wife work in detail together?
Never.
If you do, how do you both balance your personal relationship and your business/work relationship?
For the sake of our marriage.
I have detailed together before.
And
for fun, for sport.
The sake of our marriage, we have decided never to do that again.
No, actually, you're making it so dramatic.
If it's not. If
we had fun. You were totally teaching me.
That was fun. There's pictures on the Facebook page of you with a rotary. Are you wimps out there afraid of a rotary?
It.
My wife did a rotary. Come on, guys.
And I killed it.
You killed it. Some swirl marks, but...
Shh. It's a podcast. We don't dumb all the information.
Come on. Just stretching the truth.
But do we work together? I would say...
No.
Kind of. I mean, like, Jimbo bounces all of, like, a lot of ideas off of with me, and... Like,
or especially situational stuff where you need kind of a fresh set of eyes of, like, especially with, like, having or trying to hire a guy. It's like, hey, what do you guys think? What do you think? Not what do you guys, but what do you think of this? Or I'm trying to do this with my schedule. I'm trying to go to all these places. Like, just having a fresh set of eyes on different situations.
And definitely before we had kids, we were joint, like, every decision. And then.
Do you want to pause this for a little bit, and then we'll go in and come back to after you get done thinking this?
Can you not? You always interrupt my main thing, and it sucks.
Sorry. I just like to hear my own self talk.
I know you do. This is your podcast.
This is my podcast, bro.
Backseat it. Get on that bench.
All
right. Okay?
Keep going.
Blah, 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 blah.
Wrap up this thought. We're out of time crunch.
So.
Do you think we have anybody still listening?
Yes. You're being mean, though.
Okay.
No, I'm going to pause. I don't want that in it, because people are going to be like, Jimbo's so rude to his wife.
All right, we're back.
Okay. Let's see. Our next question comes from... Bud Abraham.
Bud Abraham.
What can those detail business owners who abide by all the laws and regulations pertaining to their business do about those who ignore the laws and regulations and undercut the prices of law-abiding detail business owners. It hurts those business owners, and it hurts the industry. But I will answer this one because it is like an amen to me, but it's kind of double-sided because when Jimbo first started out, he was undercut, underpriced.
I still am.
You know, and he still is by those...
Mow and blow guys.
Yeah.
Wash and blow.
Those other detailers that, oh yeah, I'll do a freaking clay and a wax for $50, $75, like, and they're technically, who knows what they're even doing to your car. But in the very beginning, when Jimbo was establishing his clientele, establishing his name, still kind of, you know, learning his trade, it was very hard. But I think now, when Jimbo is at the stage that he's at with his business and his talent and his abilities within detailing, the master detailer. No, I'm sorry. Is that a thing?
Yeah, huge thing. I hate it. Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know.
Well, just, you know, bar none, Jimbo Balin.
Yeah. The one, the only.
You made me
sound way better on this than I really am.
Yeah, but just
keep going.
Don't look at the windows. That's all I say.
You saw how bad an amateur detailer does windows.
Yeah,
I guess
your window's better than that.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. Look at my window right now. It's
pretty good. It's actually really good.
So clean you can't even see the window there.
But now that Jimbo is where he's at, it kind of actually pushes... It allows Jimbo to charge more because, you know, he's... knows what he's doing. He can educate his customers, actually speak to his customers in their preferred first language.
Yeah.
And
because people want a cut and buff. I had that one yesterday. You guys do that cut and buff?
Yeah. And so Jimbo knows what he's doing, knows what he's talking about, shows up on time, is extremely professional, dresses professional. And he knows what he's doing. So to him, when they're like, "Whoa, so and so was gonna do it for like $100, and you want to charge me $150 or $200," Jim was like, "Yes." And I can go through the entire process and completely explain to you why and everything. And at the end of the conversation, they're like, "Okay, great. When can we schedule?" Because they know there's a difference. So.
And with that car on Sunday that I did, the girl actually got 3 other quotes to actually do more services to her car than I was willing to do for the same price, and she still brought it to me.
See? And in the long run, those people aren't going to stay in business long because we live in California, so the government's going to come after them because do you think their bottles are labeled? No. Do you think they even know about water runoff? Probably not. Like, you know, are clients going to keep using them? No, because after they use them for 3 months, their car is going to be completely scratched. So those people fizzle out, and there's always new guys. But, I mean, Jimbo's kind of at the point now where it matters, but it doesn't really matter.
But I still am willing to work with people, too. I don't like this attitude. I see some of these guys online, and their attitude is like...
Do people call on them, too? Is that something you guys do? Like, oh, I would like to... I mean, in California we live, it's so easy to, like...
Like, call and price match people?
No. Like, call the police department and be like... Or hazmat. I don't know who you call.
That's kind of weird.
Detailers do that to other detailers, though?
I've heard of it, but... I think it's kind of weak.
I mean, I feel like it's kind of weak. It will come around to them.
You need to find your unique selling proposition. Here's my honest opinion is don't worry. Put more emphasis in what makes you different than those guys and focus on that than worrying about the guys undercutting you. Find your unique selling proposition and focus on that and focus on differentiating yourself from all these other guys and stop worrying about the guy undercutting you.
That is a sweet hat. Did you see her little barrette?
Uh-uh.
Okay, Juliet Green, do you and your wife work in detail together? If you do, how do you both balance your personal relationship and your business work relationship? Jimbo and I detail together for sport Never.
never for money.
Never for money.
Probably because I'm more interested in making money.
Yeah, and I just want to, like, chit-chat.
Yeah.
But I will say that back... swinging in that driveway. Back in the day, before we had kids, and I was Susie Homemaker, we were very much so connected with mostly all the decisions Jimbo made and everything we did with the business.
But you always
I created his first logo, like, all of that, like...
You always hear about everything.
Yeah, and now we're kind of at the point where I am at home with the kids and I got a lot going on, so, like, we kind of are, like, I got my business, he's got his, kind of at this point, but we still talk a lot, you know, when he's like, what should I do about this, or this client, that, like, we still work it out a lot, but as far as, like, business, paperwork, business, all that, Jimbo pretty much does everything, and for
I'm like the
work.
Like the three-arm man.
You know what I do? I'm super good at delivering lunch, okay? That's what I do for the, you know what I mean? Like, coffee run, you know, that's what I do. Personal, Jimbo's personal assistant. We're still recording, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But do you want to pause it to go in and then we'll continue? So we're not sitting out front.
It's going to be really choppy because we're doing all these pauses.
No. All right, we're back.
Okay. So the next question comes from David Deere, and he says, are black cars worth the hassle? I think my next car will be gray. His current car looks like a black...
Corvette.
I don't know, though.
It is. It's a Corvette.
It's kind of hard to tell the back.
It's a Corvette, for sure.
Okay.
All right, so I do not personally think black cars are worth it.
And, by the way, we're eating frozen yogurt, so...
And, by the way, we've taken all afternoon to record this one episode the second time. But
literally.
You didn't know that. You're just listening to this. So if you're still here, even listening to this. I don't think black cars are worth it, only because they just take so much dang time to maintain. And I got into the detailing business because I just liked having a clean car myself. I wasn't necessarily a car nut. I just liked having a clean car. So if you are a car nut and like having a clean car, I wouldn't suggest black. And if you're a professional detailer or even have that really keen eye to seeing swirl marks, or not even swirl marks and spider webbing, get those two terms get thrown around a lot, but if you have a keen eye to see either one of those or wash marring or anything like that, it's going to be virtually impossible to keep that from happening to your black car without seeing it. So I just, it's so much maintenance that I don't think it's worth it.
We have all gray cars. Gray metallic, if possible.
Yeah.
We've always, my first car before I met Jimbo was like a grayish.
Grandma gold.
No, it was a limited edition Grand Cherokee color, and it was like gray gold. It was.
Grandma gold.
No, it wasn't, it was, grandma gold.
It was a nice color.
It was a weird gray gold, but it wasn't gray gold.
It was a very nice color. But if you do, you know...
And then my second Jeep was gold, and now my third car is...
No, you're...
I'm sorry, my second car was gray. My second Jeep was gray, and then now my third car is gray. So, both of Jimbo's... His first car was silver,
uh-huh.
Second car gray, third car gray. And then the Sprinter is black, but...
Horrible.
It's horrible.
I wouldn't suggest it. It's going to just take way too much time.
Talking about taking away from family time, the black car takes away from family time.
Yeah, for sure. So I wouldn't suggest
if you're crazy
that.
On it, like Jimbo's crazy on it, then...
Then you could still do it, but it literally will make you go crazy. If you have a really keen eye. If you don't have a keen eye, you know, whatever.
Rolando Vasquez.
Rolando.
Have your podcast help you build credibility by locking in new clients? I feel like your clients have no idea you even have a podcast.
No, I don't think so.
How do you, like, tell them, like, okay, I have a podcast. Like, is it kind of awkward to...
There's only kind of, and the customers that I have told that, like, you know, the Mac people, I don't want to use their name, but, mm-hmm. You know, like, they are very tech savvy, and I told them I had a podcast. this is going to sound lame. I told him I had a podcast, and the response was like, oh, cool. So what are we doing today? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the people that, they just don't care. There is one job that I did land because I have it linked up on my personal detailing page, and they did say, like, oh, I saw that you do a podcast, too, and that made me feel like you were a little bit more legit. But as far as a...
Jimbo, his legitimacy is still questioned.
But, no, it's not a good... It's not... Definitely doesn't hurt, but it's not like a lead-generating magnet. Nor did I plan for it to be. The plan for the podcast was to kind of give back to the community that, you know, a culmination of all this stuff that I've had to learn over my 8 years of detailing, I wanted to make it more accessible.
It wasn't for clients.
It was for the community of detailers.
All right, well, next said. Question from Rolando. Oh, we just did that one. I'm sorry. Kevin Davis.
Kevin.
What part does your faith play in the way you handle your business dealings, integrity, and decision-making? Bobby Mazzoni commented, this is an excellent question. One of the top liked questions of the night.
I had a really good response to this.
And then we had to
re-record. But we didn't record it. So, I think what it comes down to is, for me, because I'm not a super vocal guy about my faith, is it comes down to more of an ethical issue. So I'm very aware of my morality and, here, I'm going to make up a word, efficacy. I told my sister recently that my new favorite thing is to use really big words that I'm not sure if I'm using them right. So, from a moral and ethical standpoint, I feel like that's where my faith plays a bigger role within my business and honesty.
You treat people equal.
And I treat everyone the same. No matter what kind of car they have, people will call me and be like, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed. I have a 2005 minivan that's thrash. And it's like, cool, let me come check it out. Or it's like, whatever, you got a Bentley or you got a high-end car. I don't care. You guys are all the same. Because I found out that the people with, like, the mediocre cars, you know, maybe the Benz or, like, the cars that you see a lot of, those are the people with the most money, you know. And the people, in my experience, this isn't necessarily always true.
The people with the most money, that it's like, it's like they don't care. They're not, like, stingy with it. They understand quality and they, like, and the people with the really flashy cars are like, you want to charge me $35 to wash my $100,000 car? It's like, what? Hello, think about that.
That's a good business term that you just used.
What?
That was good. That's exactly what I tell them. So, my faith is more of a ethical-based thing for me. And that's why I think I get so fired up online with
which I'm telling him he needs to cool it on.
But I just get fired up with people that I feel are bordering that ethical line and stretching the truth or putting out headlines that are just to draw eyeballs. And it bugs me because it teeters on my moral and ethical standards. So it's kind of a protective thing, but...
But Jimbo, too, with his clients, going back to, like, with clients, he very much so will sometimes kind of almost, like, get himself out of making more money because if a car doesn't need to be fully clayed, he's not going to sell the client on a full clay because they don't, maybe they don't need it at that time or
unless
whatever.
They
he's,
want
not gonna,
it.
He's not going to, like, take advantage of a client. He's not going to do all of that. And a lot of times too with his clients, the conversation will eventually lead up talking about God or faith or, hey, I go to church, do you? Or I'm a Christian, are you? Like, because just with Jimbo's personality, Jimbo's so honest and forthcoming. He strives to be very transparent and, like, it just comes through. Mm. So people just kind of will be notice that.
Transparency is... That is, like...
A huge thing for Jimbo.
A huge thing to me. And that's what I hope to bring to the detailing industry through this podcast is transparency. So it bothers me when people aren't transparent or companies aren't transparent, because I equate that to being ethically wrong.
So, Jimbo doesn't scream it from the rooftops, like, to every client, I believe in God. Shake your hand. I'm going to detail your car.
Like, I believe I could fly.
I believe in Jesus. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not Jimbo. But through his just actions and personality and the way he carries himself, talks to people, like.
And obviously through me being a master detailer.
Oh, gosh. Can you stop?
That's super important.
Okay.
And all my certifications.
David Deere, least favorite thing to clean on a car and your favorite.
Now, this is cheating because in the first time we didn't record this, you guessed.
I guessed.
So why don't you just say what you guessed.
So I guessed, which I thought I'm so bummed because I guessed Jimbo's least favorite thing to do on the car is the interior, the carpets, and the windows. But Jimbo's actual least favorite thing to do on a car is the engine. Because he has no idea what's going on when he pops up in the hood of a car.
And if something happens, you know, people start talking about, oh, put a Ziploc bag around this and watch out for the alternator. Where the hell's the alternator? What is that? Thank God for YouTube, man.
Jimbo
Who knows where there's an alternator on an 08 Kia? I mean, come on.
Jimbo hates the engine, and his favorite thing to do is throw on that tire shun, baby.
The more sling, the better.
Yep, he loves a shiny wheel.
Yep.
That's his favorite thing. From next question is coming from Philip Crow. If you could modify one car, build it up to be anything you like, what car would it be, and what would you do to it?
Well,
so the man who doesn't know about an engine, tell us, man. What would you do, man?
I don't really like heavily modded cars, and I'm not really a racer, sports car kind of guy. So I would have either an old Jeep, you know, JK something, I think they call them, or most likely the old
Land Cruisers.
The old Toyota Land Cruiser. Probably have like a 2 or 3 inch, you know, lift on it with some big old BFGs. Not huge, maybe 35, 36 inch tires. You know, black rims, probably that old beige tan, you know, with
there's
a really nice
cool teal color, though, too.
Plaid interior.
It's kind of muted teal.
Like the brown and plaid interior, automatic, four-wheel drive. Probably some racks on top.
Automatic? Those cars aren't automatic?
Yeah, they have automatic ones.
And those old ones?
I don't want no stick shift. Come on, bro. This is a PCH cruiser. I don't want to be dealing with that. Come on.
PCH as in Pacific Coast Highway Cruiser, California Coast Cruiser.
California Coast, bro.
Bah.
Monterey to the border.
I probably know. I don't know. I think when Jim and I first started dating and we were like first married and engaged, I definitely knew way more about cars than he did. Obviously now I don't.
Now
but
it's like, bro, show me a taillight and I'll tell you what car it is.
but now I don't. I had actually taken apart and put together back an engine with my dad in high school. And I mean, all information is completely lost now, but now Jimbo's pretty good. Okay. Scott Miller, Scott Schlute. I just combined someone's name right there. Scott Schlute, Miller Lite or Bud Light? Option C, none of the above.
I'm not a real big drinker, guys. It just, it's not that important to me.
We're
coming up on an hour, I think, so.
Wine.
Yeah, wine sometimes.
Chris Woolman, I would like to hear more about how small detail business owners handle the hiring or contracting of employees, especially in the state of California. Chris?
I would go lean more towards the contracting and subcontracting with them 1099-ing the, I went to the wrong house.
You went to the
subcontractors to do the work, not employees. It just gets way too expensive.
Chris, I also really dig your profile picture that looks like your elementary school photo, but your like professional elementary school photo. It's rough.
Well done.
Jose Fernandez III. Boxers or briefs?
None. Next question.
Next question. Stanky. Marcelo Mills. We miss you, Marcelo.
We miss you, Marcelo.
Hey, I'm curious about these air purifiers, those ozonators.
Ozonators.
That's what we jokingly call it. Yeah. So it just came out. I'm curious about these air purifiers / ozonator. Now I can't say it because I'm so used to saying the joking word. Ionizers.
Yeah.
Do they work? If so, is there anything to look for to determine the best one? I'm trying to keep that good smell in my car.
They
work and they're awesome. You should get one for your house.
Get one for your house too. If you're looking for your car
kids.
And you're just doing your personal car, I would do just a low output one. And if you're a professional detailer, get a higher output, something around 1400, whatever they measured in. For your own car, you're probably only going to need something around 200 to 400 output. I would get one. They work well.
They have ones too that you can plug into just like for rooms of your houses, and it's really good for like sanitizing too. So like if the kids are really sick, it like cleans and purifies the air and cleans surfaces. So it's a good thing. Paul Fresco, Jimbo, double O. Do you skateboard or have you?
I have skateboarded back in the day.
Jimbo was so skater cool that he couldn't even skateboard, but he dressed and looked like he could.
Heck yeah. I looked the part.
Did you see your room?
I did, but we got to, let's find parking and let's, how many more questions we got? We got to wrap
one more.
This up.
All right. Angel Gomez, how do you deal with water restrictions in California? Where do mobile detailers get their water from?
I would...
great question, Angel.
Mobile Thank detailers you. Usually get their water from the
detail supply
place. The government's worried about runoff, so I would handle the runoff by how I do handle the runoff is waterless or rinseless car washing.
And Jimbo actually has tanks at our house.
Oh, yeah.
And it goes through our water filters, makes it ionized water, and then they come and they redo the tanks when necessary.
Any parting words that you want to say before we...
Parting words!
Thanks, guys, for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Super fun Q&A. It was something different. Hope you guys enjoyed. Next time, you guys definitely hit us with more questions if you have them, or whatever.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Auto Detailing Podcast. Head on over to autodetailingpodcast.com for full show notes and links of everything that we've talked about today. And don't forget to check out our resources page for a direct link to all the products talked about not only on today's episode, but that I use in my day-to-day detail business. They have direct links so you can purchase and get free shipping right from that page. That's autodetailingpodcast.com. We'll see you on the next episode.